Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you open your words to us, we will take those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So, our scripture text today is one of those texts that can be taken many different ways, and a lot of times they're taken as it has to do with money. I tend to disagree with that. So here's the thing. I'm going to try to put this in me terms. So you have this guy who comes running up to Jesus. And he's all excited and he's all hyped up. And he runs up to him and goes, "Master! Good rabbi!" I'll scare you. "I need you to tell me something. I need you to tell me how to inherit eternal life." Now this guy, we're going to call him Delbert. Lance thought I was going to call him Lance. There's no one here today named Delbert, right? Right? Okay, because last time I did this, somebody had the same name, and I got in trouble for it. So Delbert was pretty sure of his life. Delbert knew that he was a good man. He knew that he had done everything he could possibly do. He wanted verification that he was a good man. So he runs up to Jesus. And he said, "Tell me what I have to do." Because I guarantee you deep down inside him, he's thinking, "I got this. All I got to do is hold my head up high and walk away." And so he runs up and he says, "What do I have to do?" "Good teacher." Jesus kind of pulls one on. He goes, "Why are you calling me good?" Now, there's only one good, and that's God. And then Jesus starts going through this checklist. "Well, Delbert, you know the commandments, right?" "I sure do." "Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness." I imagine Jesus is going through each and every one of them. Did you notice in the text, all of them were, "Thou shalt not." Did you notice that? "Thou shalt not." Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And Delbert was going, I'm super Delbert. I got this. Jesus throws one in on him. Honor your father and mother. I got that one too. I got this lick. I've got it made. I'm done. All I got to do is just sit back and wait. Then Jesus said, oh, there's one more thing you need to do. Take all that you have and give it away. Give it to the poor. Give it to Lord's Acre. Nobody laughed. Give it all away. I want you to have nothing. And then come follow me. Delbert's chest deflated like a wilted balloon. Scripture tells us that Delbert had much wealth. And all he could do was put his head down and turn away and walk away. So, the question that I have today, Delbert, was he a fan or was he a follower of Jesus? I'm pretty sure that Delbert had heard all the stories, everything that had been going on around the countryside about this rabbi that was going around and performing miracles and was the Messiah and all of these wonderful things. And he had been keeping up with all of that. And he wanted to get on the bandwagon. But he wasn't committed enough to become a follower of Jesus. So this week I spent a lot of time trying to think of what the difference between a fan and a follower is. How many of y'all have Facebook? How many of you are following somebody? Evidently I am too. I didn't know I was. But that made me wonder, okay, so what is the big thing about following and what's the difference between it and being a fan? So here are some definitions. The definition of a fan is a devotee of a particular sport, pursuit, entertainer, or entertainment. So somebody that roots for or is interested in some type of performing art is considered a fan. And I saw that very much so yesterday when I walked into my daughter's house and she's watching the Texas OU ball game. My daughter is a major Texas fanatic. She's bouncing all over that recliner and I told her, I said, I don't know why you're doing that. They're going to lose. And at the time, they were up by 2 touchdowns. And as soon as I walked in the house, the game was tied. And she looked over at me and told me to leave. But she is a big fan of the Longhorns. My son is a big fan of Texas A&M. I'm a fan of Oklahoma State because I don't want to deal with either one of them. But we're all fans. We all like something. We all have our favorite music, right? Right? We all have our favorite hymns. We all have our favorite preacher. Boy, I milked that one, didn't I? We have our favorite stores. We have these things that we have in our lives that we like, that we're fans of. But being a follower is a lot different than being a fan, because in order to follow, the definition of that is a supporter, believer, advocate, fanatic, or disciple moving in the same direction. Let that sink in for a second. In order to be a follower, we have to be so committed to that particular person or thing that we're willing to walk away from everything else. We're willing to give up things in our lives. Delbert wasn't willing to give up the things in his life that he felt was important. So, Delbert was a fan of Jesus. He wasn't a follower. Now, there's a couple of things that's important to see in this that we don't really notice. First of all, if we call ourselves Christians, then we're supposed to be followers of Christ, which means that we give up all the things in our lives that would separate us from His presence, right? We give up our opinions as to what we think the Bible says or how we interpret it to mean, and we accept it as the Word of God. I didn't say He wrote it, but He inspired it. The problem in the world today is that there's a lot of people in this world that are fans of Christianity because it's a popular thing. And just like Delbert, they're willing to go to a certain extent, but they stop when Jesus tells them, you've got to walk away from all that you have in your life and come follow me. And there's so many people, there's too many people out there today that don't want to give up the number one thing, and that is control of their life. They think that it's so important that they rule and run and decide the things in their lives when it comes to eternity. The important thing about this text is that it don't matter what you think. God is God. God was, God is, God will be. God's Word was, God's Word is, God's Word will last through eternity. So you can't pick and choose the things that you want to do and the way you want to follow in your life. When it comes to your eternal destination, you don't get to go out there and say, okay, so I like this part, but I don't want to accept that, and that's a bunch of bogus stuff, and well, on that, they didn't know what they were talking about there. When Jesus told Delbert, you've got to do this, what He was telling him was, you've got to give me 100% of you. And I'm curious today as to how many of us have committed 100% to Christ. How many of us have given out everything so that we can be a follower and not a fan? That's something that we have to examine in our lives, right? We have to look at ourselves and say, am I all in or am I out? Because there's no in-betweens. Now, this particular text goes on, and Jesus talks about some other things in it. And this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to go and read the rest of that text. Because there's something that's there, that's not there, that you don't see on the surface. God said, I'm a jealous God. You'll have no other gods before me. And so many times it's those little g gods that we don't want to give up that causes some separation. Now, I don't know what was in Delbert's mind when he put his head down and he started to walk away. I don't know if at one point, as he stood there looking at Jesus, and he turned and he started to walk away, what was going on in his mind. I wonder if he thought by the time he got 15 foot away that Jesus would say, hey, Delbert, come back here for a minute. Let's talk. What you'll notice is Jesus didn't go chasing after Delbert. It wasn't one of those things of compromise on Jesus' behalf. Too many times we try to compromise salvation so that everybody feels good about it. Jesus said, give up everything and come follow me. Delbert put his head down, walked away, and Jesus stood there and loved him. But he didn't chase him. At that moment that Delbert turned around, he made the decision whether he was a fan or a follower. And Delbert ended up being just a fan. So I ask you today, are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus? Are you willing to go so far with your life and the things that are in your life to feel good about yourself, or are you willing to give up everything you have? I can tell you it's not easy to give up everything you have. I chose to follow Christ at the age of 9 years old. I thought everything was honky-dory and good. And then at 17, Jesus said, I ain't through with you yet. I got something else you need to do. I pulled a Delbert. Yeah, Jesus. We're good, buddy. I have you in my heart. I sure don't need to be doing that. And like Delbert, I walked away. The age of 33 years old, I'm the one that came crawling back. Jesus didn't come chasing me, saying, now wait a minute, we can work a deal here. And at that moment, I had to make a decision. Am I still a fan or am I going to be a follower? Because in order to follow where Christ is leading me, I'm going to have to give up almost everything I have. Thank God he didn't ask me to give up my family. But I did give up everything else. had a great job, a nice home, acreage, old beat up truck that was paid for. Life was good. But Jesus said, come follow me. Are you willing to give up everything in order to be a follower of Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice everything you have in order to receive treasures in heaven? That's kind of a touchy subject, ain't it? The decision's yours. You can be a fan or you can be a follower. But Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells us so. But it's our decision that keeps us in the presence of Him. Fan? Follower? It's up to you. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given us to be here in your house today. Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and gave His life that we might have a relationship with you. Father, your Son said that all we have to do is to follow Him. And just like Delbert in our story, we have to make that decision if we want to be a true follower or if we want to be a fan. Lord, as we go through this coming week, help us to examine our lives to see where we stand in that mix. Father, we all want to follow Jesus. We just need some help getting rid of some stuff. And we know that you'll be there. All we have to do is ask you to help us. Lord, be with us as we go into the world today and this coming week. And we deal with all of the things that are out there. The things that take our minds and our hearts away from you. Father, as we go into this week, as we celebrate you and as we get ready for Lord's Acre and we get ready to prepare for all of that so that our youth can have a lasting relationship with you through what we do. Father, we ask that you bless it. So that it will glorify you in all that we do. We pray this in your Son's holy name. Amen.